Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're in chapter 12 of Hebrews today, and verse 1. Chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, verse 1. Now it says, therefore, seeing that we are also compassed or surrounded by with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. It's the only way we can accomplish running a straight race and a good race and a quick race. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, amen. That is the truth of it. Now, the first thing I'd like to really look at with you today is the great cloud of witnesses. So many Jewish people were used and exemplified in chapter 11 of Hebrews in the roll call of faith. We looked back at Moses and Abraham and so many, Jephthah and Joshua, and just so many. And what a blessing. You know, there are many promises in the Bible about the Jewish nation. Not the least of which is Romans chapter 11. And let me get that quote to you. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, where it says that all of Israel shall be saved. And there will be a day at the end of the tribulation period where the Jewish people that are still alive and been protected through the tribulation period will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There comes out of Zion a deliverer. And he will save his people, and all of Israel shall be saved. Now, Sherry and I read an article this last week that was so exciting that I had to bring it to you. It's called, actually, 50 Years After the Six-Day War, God's on the Move. And so the whole thrust of the article is God is on the move today, actually getting ready to fulfill this promise that he made to Israel to make them a nation. And I'd like to submit to you a new member of the cloud of witnesses. As we studied through actually Hebrews 11, there is a Jewish man that is obeyed the word of God to him and actually transferred himself from Montreal, Canada, and just so touched and moved and came to Israel. And he's looking forward to the promises of God and is seeing them actually fulfilled today over there. So this article was so encouraging to us. And so I'd like to let you know that the month of June is the anniversary month of actually Jerusalem being taken in the Six-Day War, taken back after 2,000 years of being under the authority of the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. Israel was taken back in the Six-Day War. Now, the Yom Kippur War, sometimes we get those confused, is 1973, but this is 1967. We saw a documentary on this on PBS, Sherry and I, and it showed Moshe Dayan, who was the famous general, the general with one patch over his eye. Probably remember that from seeing pictures of him. And when he took Jerusalem, they said, are you also going to take the Temple Mount? And he said, no, that's for the Messiah to do. And so they're waiting for the Messiah to come and take the Temple Mount. But definitely, Jerusalem was conquered by Israel for the first time in 2,000 years. And what a blessing that is. Now this leads us up to a huge, huge event that was prophesied by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. So let's go there. Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. Luke 21, 24. This is Jesus teaching on end times, what's going to happen in the end times. And sharing things about what happened with Jerusalem. So it says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And then the Lord Jesus said that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, the fulfilling of the times of the Gentiles, that is God using us, non-Jews, as his major witness here upon the earth, will be fulfilled at the rapture of the church. When we're taken out of here, then the Spirit of God will fall again on Israel. Blindness has happened in part to them. But the Lord's Spirit will be poured out upon them again in a dynamic, making that nation a witness to the entire world in such a great way. And so that time is actually getting closer and closer. And this is a huge sign when Jerusalem was retaken by the Jews, because it says here through the mouth of Jesus that Jerusalem would be trodden under the feet of the Gentiles. The British were there. So many other nations were there in Jerusalem all of these 2,000 years. But in 1967, Moshe Dayan, the forces of Israel, led by God Almighty himself, and the Lord is saying, you know what? It's getting really close to the time when I'm going to set up my kingdom on the earth. And every other sign is coming together from the scriptures. That's why the Bible scholars are so excited about the second coming of Jesus. We had a dear family here last night that was visiting from Las Vegas. They came to go to Disneyland and spend time in the area. And they were so excited about seeing this article I'm going to show you. And I keep saying you're going to see it. Well, we read the article first, and then there was an interview with this Jewish man. And so that's what we filmed for you off CBN. No, what's the Christian Broadcasting Company? I should just, you know, I get mixed up with the CBN, right? I always get mixed up with the letters. You ever do that? You know, there's so many letters in our society right now. And you just go, what? You know? But yeah, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, interviewed him. So that's what we're going to see in a minute. Anyway, so this idea of this great event. And so 50 years after the Six-Day War, God's on the move. And that is the title of this whole situation we're looking at. So they celebrated June 7th, 2017 is 50 years later. And so this is when they did this interview. Now, I'd like to say this, that I want to show you the scriptures that are quoted in this interview, because you'll see the man that's talking, he gets to the scriptures and he just quotes them pretty fast. And so if you're not looking for them, you might miss them. So first of all, I'd like you to turn to Zechariah chapter 8 and verses 3 through 5. So Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. So we go to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3 and read through verse 5. He actually quotes verse 4 and verse 5 of Zechariah chapter 8. And this is what it says. Thus says the Lord, I am returned to Zion. The Lord God will return to Zion. God said it, we believe it, and it's going to happen, and is in the process of happening even today. So, I am returned to Zion. I will dwell in the middle of Jerusalem, right in the middle. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall be old men, and at this time, this man that we're going to see is getting older. And so he's referring to himself, really. He says, there shall be old men and old women that dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. So this is a prophetic word about Jerusalem. For as God is doing this more and more, even today. Now, let's go on then to Amos 9:11. He also quotes Amos 9:11 as fulfilled prophecy. Now, Amos is past Hosea and past Joel. If you go to the first book of the minor prophets, right after Daniel, is Hosea, then Joel, and then Amos. Amos is kind of easy to miss. But let's go back then to Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. Amos 9:11. Hosea, Joel, Amos, chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. Now you remember that there was the prophecy given to King David in the book of Samuel, where the Lord said to him, I will establish your throne forever. And that is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that little baby donkey, in the triumphal entry, they cried out to him and said, Blessed are you, O Son of David. They knew that prophetic word, that the Messiah would be the Son of David. So they were saying, You're the Messiah, Jesus, and they were worshiping him as their king. And so in that day will I raise up the tabernacle or the dwelling place of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, this is an important word, ruins, and I will build, and that's another important word, I will build it as it was in the old days. And so with these two scriptures under our belt, let's take a look at this film now and listen to the testimony of this dear man. Praise the Lord. I was just so impassioned and moved and just blown away with this report. I mean, this is a Jewish guy, you know, and he is, in my mind, just like the Jewish guys we were reading about. He, as a teenager, God blew the shofar for him. Bam, I'm going home. And God is gathering and he's bringing his people home. And what does that mean? He's getting ready for Jesus to come home. Jesus is going to be walking through the east gate of Jerusalem, not many years or days, but minutes from now, kind of thing is the way it just feels like, you know. It is just so amazing. Now, let's go back then to Hebrews and chapter 11, and chapter 12, verse 1, because of what's next is such an exhortation for you and I. You know, how does this apply to us? How does this man's, Mr. Lewinsky's call of God to go home to Jerusalem and to see these prophetic words jumping out of the Bible? As he said, you know, I'm not reading the Bible, I am the Bible. Yeah, I mean, God is doing this with my child in the streets. And I see the cranes that are building the ruins. And so it is just so exciting to see that. Let's go ahead to Hebrews 12 again and read the first verse again. It says, Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, people witnessing to the fact that God is on the move, as we just heard from his lips, God is on the move. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, weights are not sins because sin is next in the verse. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Apostle Paul uses the idea of the Olympic Games and the boxing and the racing a lot in the Bible. And here we have it again, here in the book of Hebrews. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this idea of a weight, in other translations, it says in the NIV translation, throw off everything that hinders. It's not sin to have a weight in your life that's kind of weighting you down from really being passionate about the things of God. and really being excited about the Lord and making Him number one. And these are things that can drag you down, weights in your life. And so the other translation, throw off everything that hinders. I remember when Sherry and I, at a pastor's conference, we went up for prayer to have Pastor Chuck pray for us. And he laid hands on us and he said, Lord, remove all that hinders. And I remember just feeling almost a little hurt about that prayer at first, because the red flashed in my face, like, that's embarrassing. Are there things in my life that he senses that are hindering me from going on with the Lord with all my power and all my strength and all my mind and soul? And I just remember thinking, oh Lord, yes, let's get serious about anything that hinders. And that's what this scripture is about. Let's lay aside every weight. Now, the Living Bible says this, and of course the Living Bible is not a translation, but it's kind of like a commentary, but I like the way they put this. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or that holds us back from all of the things that God has for our lives. Yes. Oh, we want to be passionate about this. Now, I'd like to talk about the idea of the example of a race, because Paul is using that example. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In another part of the scripture, he says, let us run to win. We want to do all that we can to please the Lord with all of our hearts and serve Him with all of our minds and all of our strength. And, you know, as you do that, life becomes very exciting. And it's God meeting our adventure needs. That's what He does. You know, people get bored with life that don't know the Lord, and they're living in a rut, an open-ended grave. When it's morning, they wish it's night, and when it's night, they wish it's morning, because it's just so boring, ho-hum. So you know what? I need to take some drugs to make me feel weird. Or I need to go on Montezuma's Revenge and get terrified and get some adrenaline going. No, I've never been on that. But did you know that they actually use an aircraft carrier launcher to launch you on Montezuma's? And if you do it, you'll know it. And, you know, and then you're upside down. And that's meeting the adventure need. Humans have adventure needs. Well, let me tell you, you get going with God, you'll get your adventure need met. Oh, yeah. I mean, every time He says to you, you see that person over there? Could you just go tell them about me? And that's an adventure. And sometimes it doesn't turn out so fun. But other times you find yourself walking away off the ground, just flying away from the situation, because God just used you and you know it. Do you know Stephanus and Fortunus in the Bible were addicted to the ministry of the saints? Once a person gets going in serving God and ministering to saints, it's addictive. It's addictive. I love that King James word. It's not in any of the other translations, but it is in the King James. And it is just, I've found it to be true. I got to do it. I never want to retire. I've told the Lord that over and over again. Lord, I just want to keep going until I drop dead. And that's what happened to Pastor Chuck. I mean, he taught on Tuesday and he died on Thursday. Oh yeah, that's the way I want to go out. You know, given a Bible study, I don't want to shock you or anything, but I might die in the pulpit. Wouldn't that be great? Not for you, but for me. Hallelujah. So there it is. And you know, God just wants to give us abundant life. And He wants to take away anything that weights us down. So He uses the idea of a race. Now, I had two sons that ran in cross country. Jeremiah is one of them, and James is the other. And they were good at cross country. And you know what they wore? Tiny little shorts that you wouldn't believe how tiny. He's laughing now. We used to laugh at their shorts. You know, I mean, they're just so thin and just very brief, you know, almost like briefs. And then just a little tank top and very light shoes. It's amazing. Sometime pick up a cross-country shoe or a track shoe. The track shoes usually have little spikes in them, but they're so light. And why is that? Because they want to go faster, and they don't want anything weighing them down. CI finals every year is always held at Mount SAC, and we've been up there to Mount SAC several times, haven't we, Jerry? And also Ginger, who ran cross country also. I forgot about you for a minute, Ginger. She was a cross country runner also. Well, Mount SAC is up the 57 freeway on the left before you get to the 10. And that place is a hard place to run. They have poop out hill, and that's because people poop out on that hill. And they have a switchback hill, you know. And then the other one is Reservoir Hill, and that's just really, really long and high. So all these cross-country runners have to run these three hills in the course of just the event and see who gets the best time. Well, when I was 40 years old, I said to my boys, I want to run Mount SAC with you. And they looked at me like, oh, really? And I remember the coach teased me afterwards. He said, I didn't see any emergency vehicles up there yesterday. You know, it's like, you know, but it's true. When I got to switchback, I had to walk. So, you know, it was just getting to me. It was really a hairy run. Now, with all that information, can you imagine if my boys went to the race up there, our Ginger, and they said, hey, let's strap weights on our calves. Not gonna do that. It's craziness to strap weights on your calves to make it harder to beat the guy that beat you last time when you want to catch him. I run to win. And so the Lord is like that. And the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, you know what? It's time to remove the weights. The things that just are not good for your soul and that keep you back. They're keeping you back and weighting you down. And so let's lay them aside. Let's strip them off. Let's throw off everything that hinders, especially as we see the day getting closer. For our, you know, this guy, I know he's going to get saved. You know, you just feel it. He's obeying Scripture. He's following Scripture. He's listening for the shofar. And one of these days, you know, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Yeah, probably be a shofar. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that are still alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he will establish his kingdom and his authority in the city that's at the center of the earth, as our brother put it, Jerusalem. And it will be over. And so we see these days coming, and we want to go ahead and set aside those weights. Now it says here, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It is true how easy it is to slip into things. To the enemy is going through the whole world looking for whom he might destroy, especially Christians. And so he will be bringing you temptations of sin and also things that, hey, this isn't sin, but it's a weight. And he wants to distract you away from your work. Because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a rich landholder that went away to a far land and left every man and every woman their work. You're important to God. Your work is important to the body of Christ. And as we are distracted away from our work, and we accept the lies and the deals that Satan brings at us to try to mess us up from our work, then we've got weights in our lives that need to be rebuked, put down, laid aside, stripped off, thrown off. And so we can run the race with patience. I love this word patience here in verse 12 because it lets us know what James told us, that we should have patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you might be entire and complete, or you might be a mature Christian if you are patient with your life. We live in a fast food food economy. We live in a place where everybody wants it, and they want it yesterday. And so when the devil offers a quick response, like he told Jesus in tempting him, he said, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. But Jesus knew he needed to be patient and wait on the Father for that, because one day he would be the ruler of the whole world. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But he needed to be patient and face the cross to pay for the world. So Satan wants to just play on the impatience of people. Toddlers are really impatient. And as we grow in patience, don't we? God wants you to continue to grow in patience. Do not give up. Do not say, you know, I'm just so tired of being bored, so I'm going to give myself an adventure deal. That's sin. No. You wait on the Lord. God will bring you plenty enough adventure, and you will be happy with it and get addicted to it, in fact. And it's a joyous thing to be addicted to something that God likes instead of something that he doesn't. Hallelujah. And just going for that. And so, we want that patience to be an activity as we run our race. It is a cross-country race. It is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. And then you're done. It's long. You got to save something for the end. And then you kick it in. Then you kick it in with all you've got. And if you start to kick it in at the end and you've got nothing left, it's really embarrassing. We've seen some races like that, haven't we? Where you just have nothing left. But we want to be patient with the Lord. We want to be waiting on Him and His strength. Look at this last verse I quoted earlier, verse 2, the first part, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We look unto our Lord Jesus Christ, lest we faint and grow weary in our minds, and we accept the strength to run a long distance race and finish well and get it done. I have fought the good fight of faith, the Apostle Paul. I have finished my course. I got to the finish line, and I was able to kick it in. And that's what we want to do. Amen? So every weight. Now, just recently, Ginger, granddaughter right here, and it's okay if I share about your experience? Yeah, because she's going to share a song in a couple of weeks that she got from the Lord about this subject, that the Lord began to show her some weights in her life that other people would say, that's not sin. Well, it just isn't sin to everybody, or a weight to everybody. That's why it's so important that you make this a personal thing. What are the weights in your life that need to be stripped off and taken away, especially in the light of the soon coming of Jesus? And so Ginger had some things, and she was sharing it with me, and we're sharing. And you know, a light bulb went on for me, because God had done this with me. And I'll share my personal thing is Frazier. Now, Frazier is a really funny man. And he had a TV show called Frazier. And it's on, I always want to say Apex, but it's Netflix. Yeah, Netflix. And so when I get home late at night and I wanted something to wind down to, I'd want to watch Frazier and laugh my guts out, you know, and just get funny eyes. And the thing is, God began to show me that this wasn't good for me, because Frazier goes into different subjects that are not of the Lord. And there's some immorality displayed in that show. And, you know, I began to look for the better ones. You know, you just look for the ones that are just outstandingly funny and they don't have any immoral, you know, things. Now, there's no nakedness or anything, but just immoral subjects. And so I began to see that that was lining up with what was going, Ginger was going through, and I thought, yeah, man, I got to give up Frasier. This is a weight in my life. And it was such a blessing to do that. And I'm so glad I'm confessing this before you today. Because do you think I would dare watch a Frasier again after telling the church? This is a weight in my life and I don't want to do this anymore. And it was so to take that away. But see, for you, totally something else. Totally something else. But God's exhortation is still there. We need to get rid of every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that the enemy uses to bring us down in our spirits, give us bad attitudes, begin to actually even work on bad habits that might develop. Oh, yes. And so we want to give you that opportunity today at the end of what we have. But let me share one more scripture on the same subject with you first. Let's go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Now this is also talking about what God's going to do. And he's going to make a whole new place of righteousness. And just the encouragement to do all that we can to be found in righteous ways with the Lord. This will provide for a more exuberant life for you, because Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly. And he wants you to live that way. Now, this isn't talking anything about trials right now. We all have trials. All of us have hard things. But the way we go through those trials and the way we have an abundant living and a joyful walk with Jesus is only one way. And that is totally dedicating, surrendering our lives to him. And that is the way we do that. So let's read this. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." This is 2 Peter 3:10. "In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works there that are therein shall be burned up." My grandmother began teaching us when I was 5 years old, my cousin George and I. She would take us to Sunday school. She'd say, you know, the first time that God destroyed the earth, it was with a great flood, with water. The second time he destroys the whole earth will be with fire. And that is a scary thought. Now in verse 11 it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy manner of living?" Now it says in the King James conversation, which is very good to think about first, very good, that we keep our mouths, put a guard on my mouth, it says in Psalms. And it, like a zipper, zip it up. So we ought to consider our conversation, that it should be holy conversation. But also, a better translation here would be manner of living. People actually look what you do. And what is on your heart will come out your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you meet somebody, if you talk to them for any length of time, you know so much about their lives. And you know if it's bad stuff and bad things coming down and lots of weights and lots of sin, you're going to see that. And so you, as a witnessing Christian, you want to be a good example to the people around you. And so, considering the fact that God is going to wrap things up here one day, and this whole place is going to burn. And so, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or manner of living and godliness? Godliness. "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." And then the promise that we have as Christians. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells what? Dwells righteousness. Now, when God taught us to pray, He said, pray in this manner, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will in heaven is pure, perfect righteousness. That's what His will is. And that's what will be in heaven, as we just read, wherein dwells righteousness. So when I'm praying that prayer, Lord, your will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven, then I'm talking about casting off every weight and the sin that wants to so easily beset me and run my race here on earth, which doesn't last long. I can't believe how fast it's going by. I've begun to get mixed up between my kids and grandkids. I don't know, has it ever happened to you? I'm thinking Jonathan is Josh. You know, Joshua, who was here, worked here 8 years, and John's here now. And man, I just, in my mind, you know, it's hard to take that. It's time goes by so quickly. And so we want to get rid of those weights and be encouraged with the kind of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation. So with that then, let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So Father, thank you, Lord God, for this exhortation today. Thank you for Mr. Lewinsky on the show. What a blessing, Lord, to hear the prophecies being fulfilled in his personal life through the rabbi with the shofar. And Father, that excites me, excites us, Lord, for your second coming. You're wrapping up everything right down here so quick. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would help us, yes, Lord, to work and to think and to pray about the things that are weights, that weigh us down, keep us back, keep us down from the things that you have for our lives, from living that joyful, abundant life that you have planned for us, no matter how hard the difficulties that we have to go through. We know it will be over soon, and we will be face to face with you. So Lord, help us with these things. And so at this time, just take a couple of minutes here of silence, because this is a very personal thing. For me, it was Frazier, but that might sound ridiculous to you, because you have no problem with Frazier. But you know what? You have problems with things that want to weigh you down, because we're so easily beset with these things. We have a bend to sin, to accept weights, to be deceived by the enemy. There is a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to destruction. And oh, we don't want destruction. We want to walk with Jesus, be ready for Jesus, be looking for Jesus, letting Him fulfill all of our needs in a godly, righteous way. So, just want to encourage you, let's have this time of silence, get rid of some of those weights in your heart, and let God begin a good work and a change in you. So let's go ahead and talk to Him in our hearts. Thank you. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for being faithful to us, to speak to us, Lord. You just love us so very much. And Lord, that need of love, how we can have so fulfilled through you. We are accepted in the beloved. You call us my beloved so many times in the Word. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And Father, we pray for the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to be upon Mr. Lewinsky, as he goes on with his walk with you, seeking to obey Scripture. And Lord, we with him want the eyes of the world to wake up to what's going on here. You're getting ready to come home to Jerusalem, and we are so blessed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I love that last clause that we saw, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is going to get the job done as we just turn it over to Him. And it becomes just a joyful walk. It's not arriving, it's learning to enjoy the journey. Amen? Yes. So if you need prayer for anything, the prayer room's open for you. We do have free Bibles if you need a Bible. May the Lord bless you, and may God just continue to help you get rid of those weights. You need to run a good race. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.